This is File 61. This is Jean McMillan. Today's date is August 2nd, 2017. File 61, Cycle 2. I am interviewing Kim Fiertz, and she's going to talk about many things, including the IMS parent organization, the Salisbury Family Services, the Twin Lakes Beach Club, and possibly the Friends of the Scoville Library. But first, we'll start with the genealogical information. What is your name?
My name is Kim Marks Fiertz.
And when were you born?
July 24th, 1957.
And your birthplace?
New Hyde Park, New York.
And your parents' names?
My father's Edwin Marks, and my mother's Sandra Ween.
And Wilton?
Ween. Wait, what's Wilton?
I had Sandra Wilton Ween.
Williams. Sandra Williams.
Williams, Ween. Okay. That's why I double-checked.
Okay.
And you have siblings?
Yes. Amy Marks Franklin.
And
Robert Ween Jr.
Okay. And how did you come to the area?
My husband's family had longtime roots. His grandparents moved here, Edwin and Margaret Fowle, in the 60s. They retired here from Long Island. And so when we decided to come and look for a weekend house as New York residents, this was the place that my husband was most interested in looking at.
And the Fowles were grandparents, or?
Carrie's grandparents.
And how do you spell Fowle?
F-O-W-L-E.
Spelled it right, okay.
In fact, there's a bench down at the library, the little bench in the back, that's in dedication to Carrie's grandparents. So you will see Edwin and Margaret Fowle's name on that.
Ah,
bench.
Okay. Good.
So the first time I was here was for the dedication of that bench for their memorial service in the, I think, 1980 or something.
But 82. That's wonderful to have a piece of history like that.
Yes.
It really is. It means a lot.
It does.
Now, you said that you got involved with the Indian Mountain Parents Association because your daughter went there.
That's correct.
Okay. And what offices did you hold while you were in that organization?
Well, we moved here when Maggie was in 2001, when our daughter Maggie was in third grade. And she went to Town Hill School, which has since merged with Indian Mountain.
Yeah.
So when she was a fourth grader, which was her last year at Town Hill, I was the president of the, what they called it, the PTO, Parents of Town Hill. PTH, Parents of Town Hill, PTH. And then when she graduated to Indian Mountain School, her second year, so when she was in sixth grade, I was the vice president of the Parents Association. And then the next 2 years, I was president of the Parents Association.
And what did the Parents Association actually do?
Held activities, did a lot of fundraising, we had a big auction, a fall fair, trunk show. Did, you know, nice things for the teachers, teacher breakfasts, teacher parties.
That's nice. The teacher should be a
teacher appreciation.
Yep. Love that one.
And, you know, my job, you know, I assigned all the room parents and the class and tried to integrate everybody. There was, at that time, so there was a little, you know, a little integration needed between the lower school, Town Hill, when Indian Mountain merged. It was not completely smooth.
So. Well, there were bumps that had to be worked out.
Yes.
There were bumps.
Yes.
Now, you told me about a wish list that the kids did for Christmas.
Well, that was another program that we did in conjunction with Salisbury Family Services.
Mm-hmm.
So each year, the social worker, Patrice McGrath from Salisbury Family Services, would provide the Salisbury Family Services clientele's, the children's wish list as to what they would like for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put up a big poster, and the children from Indian Mountain would select a name or a gift. And I guess the big story I told you was about the tools.
Yes, please tell me that.
So one year there was a mother who had asked for tools for her 15-year-old boy. And the fifth grade decided to adopt him. So all the kids, you know, brought money in to buy tools from the class as a collective. And then they went to Harrington's, and Harrington's provided them with a toolbox, but they were so touched, Harrington's was, mm-hmm. that they provided some drills and a saw, and there was so much stuff for this kid. It was fantastic. And when the mom saw the pile of tools and equipment, she was in tears,
oh,
and everybody
sure.
in the whole room was in tears, because it was very touching. It was really nice that these kids...
And they
liked that gift. That was a gift that was fun for everyone to get together with.
Yeah.
So that was
and that that's thing. Such a nice mingling of the Indian Mountain and the town.
Exactly.
And that's wonderful. Now, Family Services, this is why we tie right into Family Services. When did you join the board on
that? I joined that board in, let me figure it, I think 2004.
And you've been on it for about 10 years or more.
Well, it's 13 years. It's 2017, so.
And you're an officer, you're president?
Yeah, I've been the president since, or president or co-president since, I think probably 2006.
And you were co-president with two different ladies, I think?
Yes, Mary Harvey, and I'm currently with Helen Scovell.
And there again, does the board do primarily fundraising?
Fundraising and some overseeing of the social worker, and also helping to develop some new programs. So, for example, we established the community garden.
Oh, that's where it came from.
Yes.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing.
That was Peggy O'Brien. I don't know if you know her, but that was. As a board member, she was very interested in that. We're sponsoring a drug education program at Salisbury Central School.
And that's Freedom from Chemical Dependency?
Yes, FCD.
Okay.
And we have a camp program. I mean, all those things are basically administered by Patrice McGrath, the social worker for the town, and our... as administrative director, I guess.
You said something about language interpreters.
Yes. So last year, there was a huge growth in non-English speakers at Salisbury Central School, and doubled. So there was no money in the budget.
No, there wouldn't be.
For that.
Up until the time that I left, we never had a translator.
Well, they had six kids who were English of second language kids, and then it doubled last year, so it really sort of imploded. So they needed some interpreters, but they also needed some extra money to go into that area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we, Family Services, made a very large grant for that. We paid for pretty much half of it last year.
Good, good.
And this year we'll probably be paying for some interpreters for the refugee family, Syrian refugee family. Interpreters is not required by the school board, not the school board, by the Board of Education or the state,
mm-hmm.
not mandated. So there's no money for that mandating, where ESL is required and there's funding for that. There's not interpreter funding. So it's sort of a luxury, but important.
But it's
luxury.
Important. I had Laotian children, and I had Cuban children in my class, and there was no interpreter. They were thrown in at the deep end of the pool.
Yep.
But because they were young, they picked up English very, very quickly.
I'm sure that these kids will too, but it'll make it so much.
It'll make it easier.
It's funny. I had a conversation. My oldest friend is a school administrator in Long Island, and she said they have interpreters, but only to help the parents. And
yeah.
It's a huge, you know, not wealthy school district in Long Island, and that's how they utilize interpreters. So.
It's a good use of it, though, because yeah. The kids will pick it up.
Yeah, but the parents need to know what the kids are doing. So.
The Laotian child, the first year that she was in my class, she came in for the parent conference to interpret.
For her mom. Oh, how cute. That's
and the great. Next year, because I had her brother the following year, the parents were able to speak English.
That's pretty good.
They had worked their tails off.
I bet they did.
But they wanted to do this. They wanted to learn English. They wanted to be part of the community. And it was a wonderful, wonderful thing to see.
That's great.
Celebrate Salisbury's Own. This is a fundraiser that you do.
So we do a biannual fundraiser, and we honor a local artist, actor. We also did a collective of actors and authors and playwrights at one year. This year we're honoring Ann Day, who is a photographer. That's going to be September 23rd. And
wonderful.
Yeah, so there'll be an art show at Salisbury Boys School, and then we make our money by having a big, expensive dinner.
Good.
And also eliciting sponsors.
Okay. Now, I have a question on the Beach Club. The Beach Club is separate from the Twin Lakes Association.
Yes, totally different.
Okay. Do you have a history of the Beach Club?
I do. I'll provide it to you. I just didn't get to it.
That's okay. That's okay.
But I have a whole written thing.
And do you have a list of the presidents of the Beach Club?
I do.
Okay. Perfect. That'll come through the email.
Yes.
And you have been president of that board.
Yeah, I was president of the Beach Club from 2001 to 2005.
And now you do membership?
I do membership, and I also do their insurance, because I'm a licensed insurance consultant.
Oh, lucky you. Insurance scares me.
Most people.
You joined the Beach Club for...
social reasons.
And access to the lake as well? Or
access to the lake, but mostly, I think, social. And well, the lake, it was nice to have somewhere to swim.
And they have tennis courts?
They have two tennis courts. We all... my daughter learned to play tennis there. I really learned to play tennis there because I really stunk. My husband honed his tennis there, so we have a really nice tennis pro and a very robust program considering we only have two tennis courts.
Good.
So good. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. Friends of the Scoville Library. Now. Did your husband sort of twist your arm to get involved in that?
No, he didn't. The way that it worked is an old friend of ours who started at Judy Lynn Scott initially recruited Carrie to be on the board. Mm-hmm. And then when Carrie was sort of done with it, I took his place.
Yeah.
It was no arm twisting because Judy meant so much to me that I feel like
I want
to protect her legacy. She passed away about, I guess, 5 or 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just a really terrific woman. There's a book, There's Something Nice, there's a book fund here to purchase books in her honor.
Yeah. Gardening?
I don't think it matters. I think it's just books in her honor now.
Well, when I was on the board, they were trying to order books for the things that she was most interested in.
Oh, that's nice.
And I think it was music and gardening, but I'm not sure. When did you actually join the Salisbury Friends?
About 4 years ago.
Okay. Are you a board member or treasurer?
I'm a board member.
Just a board member. That's important. How many are on the board now?
About 12, I think.
Yeah. And the board does the fundraising, and they do the book sale.
Their fundraising is really just the book sale. This is off the record. The library really doesn't want the Friends to do real soliciting, so we don't have an annual appeal anymore. The library won't let us do that.
That's changed.
So I think it's very small the opportunities of us to really make money. Mm-hmm. We do it through the book sales, and then we do it also, we have one fundraiser, you know, the cocktail party that's in the springtime.
Yeah, I remember working that one.
Yeah, so...
The money that you raise, what does it go for?
Well, it's usually for incidentals that Claudia, the librarian, wants. So the New York Times subscription, a thing called Hoopla, which is an online service that's needed. We also paid for all of the children's library furniture.
From
the renovation. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was a lot of, it's a lot for our
it's
little,
a
lot for our little ability to raise money.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add to this interview before we close?
No, I think that's good.
Thank you so very much.
Well, thank you, Jean. It's really nice what you're doing for the town.